Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, we're going to identify the top defensive units for the upcoming season. Now, this exercise is going to be based off finding teams with elite returning production from my database and then pairing that with an elite defense from 2023 using S&P Plus rankings. So, to be featured in this article, the thresholds are simple. You have to be a top 30 team in overall defensive returning production and a top 30 team in 2023 defensive S&P Plus ranking. So teams that meet this barometer have had incredible success in the previous years. To put it in perspective, last year, five teams met this threshold from a defensive perspective. And during the season, those five teams had a combined against the spread record of 36-27. Which is a 57.1% win rate, and that equated to 6.3 positive units in profit. Now, this year, nine teams meet this threshold. Three of those teams were mentioned in the previous offensive episode, and they also are featured in this episode. And those three teams are Ole Miss, Oregon, and Texas A&M. Now, when we get to them in our episode here, I'm not going to go super in depth about their season simply because I already did that in the offensive episode, but I will mention some of their defensive statistics from 2023, and then that way you can kind of get an understanding of both units. When it gets to essentially looking for teams to surpass their goals, which, you know, like their team total or whether or not they can compete for a conference championship or a playoff berth, these teams fit those molds, and you're going to have a couple of them on this list that you probably would not have, you know, even thought to look into. And that's kind of the entire point of these exercises, is to point out, you know, something that no one else is talking about. And so essentially I'm going to give you a real quick go over of the glossary and some of the statistics so you can understand what we're talking about. And as mentioned in a previous episode on coordinators, I'm going to have a glossary on my website that you can use as a reference point for all these advanced statistics and their meanings and all of those things, just so it's easier to go along with. And if, you know, you're just feeling like you want to take a look at some, you know, nuanced stuff. Anyway, so one of the main things we're going to be looking at is success rate, which is an efficiency metric that determines the success of a play. Successful plays meet one of the following criteria: either the offense scored, the offense gained 50% of the yards to go on first down, 70% of the yards to go on second down, or on third and fourth down, they ended up getting 100% of the yards to go and got a first down. The next metric will be PPO, which is points per opportunity, and that's points scored on each drive inside the opponent's 40-yard line. So the best way to look at that is to look at it as like an extended red zone. Instead of the 20-yard line, it's all the way out to the 40. And then we have explosive plays, which is a good barometer for whether or not a team, you know, can get chunk plays or whether they allow chunk plays. And then we have havoc rate, which is the percentage a defense records a tackle for loss, forces a fumble, intercepts a pass, or breaks up a pass. And so that's just, you know, either a defense being, you know, chaotic and causing the offense to, you know, come off stride, or, you know, if you're looking at it from the offensive standpoint, it's your ability to limit a defense from doing those things. And then last but not least is going to be stops, which is a statistic we use over tackles. And stops is a play where a defender makes a tackle, and the location of the tackle means the play is successful for the defense. So stops usually correlate really well with success rate. And I'll give you a quick example. Say, you know, the offense runs a screen play, middle linebacker beats the block, tackles the running back for a -2 loss. That is considered a successful play for the defense, and that is a stop. Whereas if you just use tackles, okay, well, that's a tackle, great tackle, right? Well, the, you know, reverse of that would be offense runs a screen play, the running back goes for 25 yards, middle linebacker makes a tackle. Those two tackles are not the same, And if you just use tackles as a statistic, you won't be able to see the difference. So that's why we use stops. So without further ado, we're going to dive right in and we're going to let it rip. So here we go. We have Iowa State out of the Big 12. Their defensive returning production ranking is 9th overall. And their defensive S&P Plus ranking from 2023 is 27th. Now, they're going to rank 3rd in pressures returning production, 3rd in stops returning production, and 38th in forced incompletions coming back. So some things that really stand out for Iowa State is they run a 3-3-5 defense, which is, you know, 3 down linemen, 3 linebackers, 5 defensive backs. So that's usually a very chaotic style of defense, and it kind of shows the unbalanced in their statistics. So from a success rate standpoint, they were 38th in overall success rate allowed. They were 49th in defensive rushing success rate and 34th in defensive passing success rate. So very good, you know, very good and balanced. The things that really stand out to me is going to be in the havoc rate. So their overall havoc rate is going to be 67th overall, which is pretty average. But when you break it down from a couple different levels, their defensive front seven havoc rate is actually 125th. But their defensive back havoc rate is 5th. Now, what that tells me is because of that 3-3-5 defense, they have an elite secondary. Now, one thing that makes me feel really good going forward about them is Iowa State returns 100% of their pressures from last year. Now, I know I just said they were 125th in front seven havoc rate. They're going to improve upon that. And if they improve upon that and their secondary still can maintain that elite level, they're going to, you know, they're going to surprise some teams. Now, when it gets to, you know, a couple of their volatile statistics, like, you know, they're 2-3 in one score games. They had a turnover margin of +8 and a fumble luck that was 53rd overall. You know, that is kind of that kind of gives us a little pause. And they play an absolutely brutal schedule. So 3 of their last 4 games are as follows: Kansas on the road, Utah on the road, Kansas State at home. Those are tough. That's going to be as tough as it gets in the Big 12 in comparison. But the one thing is their defense is borderline elite and is arguably the best defense in the Big 12. So with that being said, we'll go to the next one. And we have another one that kind of comes off the page, and that's going to be Rutgers in the Big 10. So in 2023, Rutgers had a defensive S&P plus of 19th. And that's probably shocking for a lot of you who, you know, either don't follow the Big Ten or don't follow Rutgers football at all. And to make that even more interesting, they are 16th in overall defensive returning production. So they're bringing back a lot of that production from a very, very good defense in 2023. They're going to be 11th in pressures returning production, 39th in stops returning production, and 29th in forced incompletions. So one thing that is just incredibly interesting to me is just these advanced statistics. So I'm going to give you the success rates, and you're probably going to be like, why in the hell are we talking about this? Overall defensive success rate, 104th. Overall rushing success rate, 123rd. And then your passing success rate, 69th. So that's pretty abysmal. If you're just looking at those statistics, you're probably like, there's no way this defense is any good. Well, the reason they're so good is because they just do not give up explosive plays. They are 1st in overall defensive explosiveness allowed. They're 4th in rushing explosiveness allowed and 5th in passing explosiveness allowed. And then they're 38th in defensive points per opportunity per game. So they are your quintessential, almost bend, don't break style defense. Now, that's not the type of defense I like to bank on. But one thing that really, really stands out to me is their defensive front seven havoc rate, again, was 113th overall. And that just is not great, you know, in any realm, you know, that is not good. but they bring back three players with 20-plus pressures last year. And if they can just elevate their havoc rate to an average level, you know, and pair that with their ability to limit explosive plays, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, especially considering their schedule is the easiest schedule in the Big Ten. To put it in perspective, they avoid Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan, Iowa, and Penn State. That is arguably five of the top six or seven teams in the entire Big Ten. Now, their win total is only 6.5. And really, all they need is their offense to improve incrementally while their defense continues to be borderline elite. If they do that, I can see them soaring over their 6.5 win total. All right, next on the list is going to be Air Force out of the Mountain West Conference. And they have arguably, they are one of my top teams to look at this summer, and I'll give you plenty of reason why. So their defensive returning production is 18th overall, and their 2023 defensive S&P Plus ranking is 30th. So as you look at how that breaks down, they're fourth in returning production pressures, they're 25th in stops returning production, and 58th in forced incompletions returning production. Now, when we break down their overall advanced statistics from 2023, we kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. But the thing is, you know, they are pretty solid. They're 39th in overall success rate. They're 42nd in overall explosiveness allowed. And then they're going to be 19th in passing explosiveness allowed. They're 16th in rushing success rate. And then what stands out the most to me is they're 16th in defensive points per opportunity per game. Now, that is going to be slanted somewhat because, as you're familiar, Air Force runs the triple option. They're going to limit the possessions per game. And, you know, that's just going to – that gigantic time of possession advantage is going to, you know, slant that points per opportunity per game level. But realistically, though, you know that anyway, you know. And they had an incredible start to last season, and they just unfortunately just fell apart in the middle of it. Now, one thing that really sticks out to me for Air Force is, well, it's several things. They have the 125th strength of schedule overall. So that's, you know, top 10 easiest. They were -3 in turnover margin, so that's 94th overall. They were 99th in fumble luck, and they were 1-2 in one score games last year. So those things combined with the Mountain West having six head coaching changes and an entire conference that is devoid of returning production, Air Force is positioned to take that step forward and arguably play in the Mountain West championship game and possibly win it. And the reason behind that is they only play 7 conference games. So every one of those games, crucial to their chances at making the Mountain West championship. But their most significant challenges is going to be on the road against Wyoming, who has a ton of volatile negative regression coming their way. And then they play at home against Fresno State. So seeing that they should see positive regression and turnover margin, fumble, like all those things that I've listed before, and they're actually bringing back returning production from an underrated defensive unit, they have the perfect recipe for making some noise in a conference that is definitely going overlooked. All right, next on the list is going to be Ohio State. And it almost feels unfair to talk about and write up like a Georgia and Ohio State, but we have to take notice when it's available. You know, they're 19th in defensive returning production from the second best defense last year. And I mean, we can go through all the statistics and how they were 12th in success rate, 11th in overall explosiveness allowed, second in passing explosiveness allowed, fourth in defensive points per opportunity per game allowed. We can go all over all those things, which, you know, is crucial to the analysis. But I feel like everybody already knows that their defense was really good last year. Anybody who watched more than three Ohio State games knows the reason that they were held back is because of their offense. And I've already touched base on that numerous times in the past episode, so I'm not going to go any deeper into it. The thing is, on top of all that, Ohio State is going to see some positive regression. They're negative two in turnover margin last year, which is 87th overall. Fumble luck, they were negative 2.46, which is 104th overall. I mean, they're an absurd minus 650 to make the playoff. And they're the second favorite to win the college football championship. And, I mean, I can't argue with that. They're really good. Now, if they're going to put all that together with Will Howard and Chip Kelly coming in, you know, that's to be seen. We still have to see if that's going to happen. But this defense is arguably the best defense in college football. Now, I know I said in the Nebraska episode that they can compete with Ohio State to be one of the best defenses in the Big Ten and the country. But on paper, Ohio State is arguably the best defense in college football. And that paired with all the returning production coming back, who is to argue that? Now, this unit will more than likely determine the ceiling simply because, you know, you have Michigan on the rebound. Penn State is Penn State, you know. So the expectation is through the roof. And as long as there's no injuries, they're going to be competing in the playoff and more than likely be one of the last teams standing as long as their offense doesn't take a gigantic step backwards. All right. One of the three teams that I mentioned in the introduction is Ole Miss. We went over them with a fine tube. We went over them pretty in detail in the offensive episode that correlates to this. So I will just go over the returning production numbers and some of their statistics from last year, and you can kind of get a feel with what kind of defense they were. So their defensive returning production this year is 20th, and their S&P Plus ranking last year was 23rd. So one thing that really stands out is they got to this returning production number via the transfer portal. Their first impressors returning production, 75% of that is via the transfer portal, and they were first in stops returning production, and 60% of that is via the transfer portal. So if you want to look at the positive side of their defense last year, very, very good in causing havoc. 19th in overall havoc rate, 27th in front seven havoc rate, and then 25th in defensive back havoc rate. From a success rate standpoint, a little more average, 63rd in overall success rate, and, you know, they're 70th in overall explosiveness allowed. So the defense will need to improve in those areas to take those step forward, but being that they went through the transfer portal, I think, you know, that's still Division I level production coming back to an already good defense. Now, on to the next one is going to be another team from the offensive standpoint. It's Oregon. They're going to have their 21st in defensive returning production and 16th from 2023 defensive S&P Plus ranking. So one thing that really stands out to me when it comes to looking at their overall returning production is their 8th in forced incompletions. And they have two transfers coming in that had 15 or more forced incompletions. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but the base level threshold for measuring that returning production is four forced incompletions. To have two players in the secondary with 15 or more, that is pretty significant. Now, when you look at their advanced statistics in 2023, there's not really anything eye-popping. They're 31st in success rate, 80th in overall explosiveness allowed, and then 53rd in overall havoc rate. Where they stand out the most is, you know, they're not really abysmal in anything. You know, they're not bottom 100 or 100 or worse in any of these 10 advanced statistics, and they still show up right in the good spot. They're 25th in defensive points per opportunity per game. So their defense is not like a sieve, you know, you don't cross midfield and all of a sudden you're just scoring on them. So that's kind of what Oregon needs. Their defense is not going to be the unit that leads them to a national championship. They just have to be relevant enough to compete. And then the offense, as it always has with Oregon, is the star of the show. And if the offense evolves with Dylan Gabriel, then, you know, we'll have something real to talk about going forward in the Big Ten and possibly in the playoff. And then the last team that was on the – of the three teams that was on the offensive side is going to be Texas A&M. We'll dive in a little bit on a couple of things that really stand out for me with them. So 23rd in defensive returning production and 20th in defensive S&P Plus last year. So they're going to be 7th in returning production pressures, and then they're 6th in stops returning production. Now, one thing that stands out is 50% of that stops returning production is coming from the transfer portal. So their defense last year is on all kinds of the spectrum. And I'll give you an example. Their overall success rate, 19th. Their overall explosiveness allowed, 111th. Their overall havoc rate, 4th. You know, their overall passing explosiveness allowed, 98th. Their defensive points per opportunity per game, 7th. So you have, like, you know, a team that's really good in limiting or really good in producing havoc type plays, but then they give up a lot of explosive plays, but they're really good at limiting, you know, teams to points inside, you know, their 40. So it's kind of a conundrum if we're being completely honest. And I mean, that word is a perfect word for the entire Jimbo Fisher era at Texas A&M, a conundrum. So I feel like with the change in coaching staff coming in, they're going to have the talent that they had from last year, and they can stabilize these other areas, like limiting explosive plays, whatnot. And as I've went in great detail on Texas A&M, they're one of my favorite teams coming into the year to take a step forward and have some positive regression. So I'm not going to go too further on them. And next on the list we have is Nebraska. They're going to be 26th in defensive returning production and 6th in defensive S&P Plus from 2023. That ranking 6th really stood out to me. I did not realize that until I was diving into, you know, the data. And yes, I did an entire episode on them. It's labeled Plus 2500, The Curious Case of Nebraska. And I advise you go back to that and listen to that in great detail, because there's some information in there that really will, you know, get you thinking. Now, a couple things I'll touch base on for Nebraska. Their defense is the only defense, as one of two defenses, excuse me, in college football last year that ranked top 40 in all of the defensive advanced statistics that we look at. The only other team was Michigan, national champions. So this team from the defensive side is elite. And the volatile statistics that are plaguing them, you know, they're going to see some positive regression. Now, is it going to be enough to break through and win the Big Ten and get into the playoff? You know, that remains to be seen. But I do think that that positive regression provides a lot of value down the line for a team that is slated at a win total of 7.5. So it's not like they're, you know, expected to win 5 games this year. There is expectation for this team. And if the defense is still elite like it was last year, there's going to be a lot of box scores that you look at in the fall that you were going to be like, wow, I didn't see that coming. I'm shocked. You know, so keep Nebraska on your mind going forward, and go back to that episode if you want a more in-depth take of them. And our last team is going to be in the Big Ten again, and that's going to be Wisconsin. So last year, Wisconsin was Wisconsin is 28th in returning production and 7th in S&P Plus for their 2023 ranking. So a couple things that stand out to me for Wisconsin is they were good at limiting explosive plays, but that was really because they were good at limiting rushing explosive plays. 16th in overall explosiveness allowed, and they were 40th in rushing explosiveness allowed, but they were 101st in passing explosiveness allowed. Now, again, they're not really terrible at anything. You know, they only rank below 70th in one category, and that's what I just talked about, was passing explosiveness allowed. So they're above average in a lot of things, and they're right in that sweet spot for their points per opportunity. They're 33rd. And, you know, diving into a couple more things, they really were just unlucky in a lot of ways last year. They go 2-2 in one score games. Turnover margin was zero, so 72nd overall. And then their fumble luck is -5.21, which is 131st. That's third worst in the entirety of college football. So just to put that in perspective, if they would have had average fumble luck, they would have gained 5 fumbles last year, whether that be on offense or on defense. Now, back to the unlucky part, they lose their starting quarterback, Tanner Mordecai, in the middle of the season, and it basically derails the whole season. They go 1-3 in that stretch, and then, you know, it's just, you know, it's all downhill from there. But they have the coaching changes from last year, and this defense will get better in certain areas. Now, they play an insane schedule. I'm just going to list their top-tier games. Their top-tier games, they play Alabama, USC, Penn State, and Oregon. Not to mention the second-tier games are Iowa, Nebraska, and Rutgers. So I don't foresee them competing for a Big Ten championship, but their win total is as low as it's ever been in my memory of Wisconsin, and it's only 6.5. So they could definitely get to 7 wins just based off the positive regression that should be coming their way. Well, that's going to be it for today and all the defensive units that we've gone through. I will have a correlating article to this episode out on my website, themittnermethod.com. And if you really want to reach out and have any questions about like either the process, the data, the statistics, just anything in general, feel free to you can shoot me a message on Twitter, or you can email me. I have my email on the website. And we're going to keep diving in. My goal is to do an episode a day during the week, so at least 5 episodes a week leading up to the regular season. And, you know, on the next one, we're going to dive more into defensive coordinator changes and how they affect the landscape of college football via the major conferences. And, you know, that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. And I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.